Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to this service of virtual worship here at Hebron Presbyterian Church. Wherever you are and whatever you're bringing with you from this week, it's our prayer that you will experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here in worship. I have just a couple of announcements for you. The annual meeting, which was supposed to take place this Sunday, has been postponed to next Sunday, February 8th, following worship, and it will coincide with the Super Bowl luncheon. Now, if you are interested in bringing soup to the Super Bowl luncheon, please contact Paula Curl. She is willing and ready to receive your soup orders, and we're hoping to get about 10-ish pots of soup for that luncheon. So we hope that you will join us next week following worship. I also want to let you know that the season of Lent is fast approaching. So mark your calendars for Wednesday, February 18th, for Ash Wednesday here in the sanctuary. There will be more information to come. To hear more about what's going on in the life of Hebron Church, you can find in the weekly email or on our website at www.hebronpresbyterian.com. Now let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshiped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. Through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen. Friends, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Trusting in the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, let us confess our sins together. Most holy and merciful God, we acknowledge and confess before you our sinful nature, prone to evil and slow to do good. We have wandered from your ways, wasted your gifts, and forgotten your love. You alone know how often we have sinned. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Cleanse us from our secret faults and forgive our sins, so that we may live in your light and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray with me. O God, in your light we see light. So shine your light upon your word that as it is read and proclaimed, we may know and believe and obey what you have to say. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We're continuing this week in our series called Gospel Living. It's based on the premise that the gospel is not just something we believe in our heads, nor something that we merely cherish in our hearts, but it is something that we do, that we live out. That good gospel doctrine will lead to good gospel living. And so, in these past couple of weeks, we've looked at the gospel as a concept, the free gift of grace given to us in Jesus Christ. Not Jesus plus something, but Christ alone. And then we looked at later, gospel welcome, how God welcomes us in Jesus Christ, so we are to welcome one another. And this week we turn to the topic of gospel honesty, how the gospel roots us in the truth of who we are and who God says we are. And so with that in mind, let us turn to God's word. Our scripture reading comes from the epistle of John, 1 John, chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Listen now to God's word. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Friends, it has been said that we live in the age of the curated self. The rise of social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram have made it so that we can pick and choose what the world sees of our lives. We can curate an image of ourselves so that the self that people see online fits the picture of a perfect person. You know the type, one who is happy, who goes on the best vacations, who has the best food, who raises the best children, and so forth. Of course, this is just a fabricated fantasy, a selection and a manipulation of our real lives with all those in-between messy bits cut out. But it is a driving force right now in our culture, curating the perfect persona. Now, we might be tempted to say that this is something new, that this has only come about because of the rise of social media, but it's not true. As far back as our first parents in the garden sowing fig leaves and hiding, lest God find them naked and ashamed, from as far back as then, humans have sought to hide themselves behind a self-made image. We try not to let on too much. We plaster on a smile or maybe put on airs. We build an acceptable facade to cover up our imperfections, our failures, our needs. And eventually we begin to believe our own PR and think of ourselves more as the fiction than the fact. All of this out of a fear that if we were honest with ourselves and with others, we would be rejected, condemned for the true self beneath it all. So we cover ourselves in an image of our own making, hoping we won't be found out. But the message of the gospel interrupts all our self-curating, and it meets us with the God who is light. God is light, John tells us, and in him there is no darkness at all. When the Bible talks about God's light or God as light, it is first and foremost speaking of God's purity, his holiness. There is no deception in God, only truth. There is no profane part of him, only the sacred. God is utterly set apart in his being, utterly holy. And our experience then of God's purity and holiness is like a floodlight illuminating a weathered statue. The brightness of it shows all. Every imperfection, every crack of brokenness, every stain of sin made visible in the light of God. We are seen for who we truly are. Our facades melt away, and we are left with only the truth. Think here of the prophet in Isaiah 6, face to face with God, hearing the seraphim sing, "Holy, holy, holy." His response is to cry out, "I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." Or remember Peter on the Sea of Galilee in Luke 5, Jesus' miracle of the great catch which threatened to sink the boat. Peter falls down at Jesus' feet and says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." In the presence of God's holiness, we see our unholiness. In God's light, there is nowhere left to hide, but to finally be honest with ourselves. And to be honest with God. Now, if we left it there, this would be a sad story. Yet this is not the end of our tale. Isaiah was not undone, but sent to prophesy. Jesus did not reject Peter, but raised him up and said, "Follow me." The truth about their sin was not the end of the story. You see, God's light is not only a revealing light, a light of judgment. While God's light is pure, it is also purifying. Just as the sun's rays banish the darkness of night, so God's light banishes the shadows of sin. It is only when in this light we see ourselves for who we truly are, faults and all, then we are opened to receiving forgiveness and cleansing. God's light is not an abstract idea, but it is a tangible reality that presses in upon our life. It is the light that came into the world and took on flesh and dwelt among us. It is the light that shone forth from the cross, saying to us, "Your sins are forgiven you." The light that shone in the resurrection, declaring, "You have been raised from the dead." In Christ, the light of the world, truth and grace meet. The one who shows us the truth, the bare truth about ourselves, is the same who declares that we are no longer condemned, but set free. Herein lies the honesty of the gospel. You are more sinful and flawed than you ever dared dream. But at the very same time, you are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than you ever dared hope. As we walk in the light of God, we are made to feel both humbled and safe. That is, as Pastor Ray Ortlund writes, we're finally free to face ourselves and others without fear of condemnation. This has an immediate effect on how we live with one another. We have been gifted in Christ the freedom to be truly honest with each other, to be honest about our fears and failures, honest about our needs and lack, knowing that those things can no longer condemn us. And instead of the truth alienating us from one another, which is our fear, it actually binds us together in fellowship, because our relationships are not founded on falsehood, but on redeemed truth. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Excuse me. There is a great story from Donald Miller's book, Blue Like Jazz, where the Christian students on that Oregon college campus, responding to an annual week-long campus party, decided to build a confessional, just like those you would find in a Catholic church, and build it right in the center of campus. But instead of inviting non-Christians to come and confess their sins, they invited everyone to come and hear the Christian students confess theirs. A student would enter, and the believer would tell all. Now, this may seem to you as really out there, and maybe even a little kitschy, but this is a picture of the kind of freedom and honesty that is made possible by Christ. We can confess with utter abandon, knowing there is forgiveness, freedom, and honest fellowship. This does not mean that honesty will suddenly become easy. It is still a vulnerable thing, and every fiber of our worldly being will try to keep us from it and to take us back to hiding behind the facade. But we walk in the light of God, and we walk with one another. So we are never alone. And if we do fall, we can confess, finding that same grace and mercy that was there from the beginning. This is the kind of honesty the church is called to embody. We are called to be a place where all can come with their brokenness and failures and be embraced by God's forgiveness and grace. A community of redeemed sinners, honest about who we are and about who God declares us to be. So let us walk in the light as he himself is in the light, having fellowship with one another, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, in your light, we see ourselves as we truly are, and we hear the promise that we are no longer condemned but set free by Christ. Help us to walk in your light so that in fellowship with one another we may embody the honesty that your gospel affords. When we fail, turn us to repentance and meet us with your grace, all to the praise of your name. Hear us now, O God, as we lift to you our cares. Heavenly Father, we know that you are Lord of all. Yet we see our world enveloped in violence and hatred, and our hearts cry out, "How long?" We lament our warring madness, which sets us one against another. We lament the unnecessary loss of life and the pride that keeps us fighting, that keeps us from being honest. We long for the day, O Lord, when your justice rolls down like a waterfall and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Empower us then, O God, to be agents of your peace, and help us to stand for human dignity everywhere. Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross you declared, "It is finished," and you stood as victor over sin, death, and hell, giving forgiveness and new life to all who believe. Let your church embody that forgiveness and grace, that all who come within our doors may find the freedom only you can give. Help us to meet the realities of this ever-changing world with the unchanging message of the gospel. By your Holy Spirit, knit us together in fellowship and love, that we may be a living witness to your light. Holy Comforter, you bind up the broken and give rest to the weary. We commend into your hands all those who suffer this day in body, mind, and spirit, as well as those situations that need your care. And we name them before you in this moment of silence. Bless, comfort, and heal, we pray, for your name's sake. O Holy Trinity, to you we lift up these our many cares, knowing that you can do infinitely more than we could ever ask or imagine, and trusting in your sovereign grace. For we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Okay.
from this place now to walk in the light, having fellowship with one another, cleansed by the blood of Christ. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God that I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, and forever. Amen.